Hi, I'm Ezra Fieldsmeyer.
And I'm Marty Harding.
And welcome back to another episode of Animation and Beyond.
That's right. This week, we are talking about an institution of adult family animated TV, and that's Family Guy.
Yes, which has been around for 25 years, and we're celebrating its 25th anniversary about this famous sitcom, which is an animated cartoon made for the mature audience.
It's incredibly famous, has moved around from the time when it was on live TV to now streaming platforms. The show is very popular.
And it's led to a big media franchise.
Absolutely. And such a cult following, too.
I agree. Yes, it's really a funny show, too, but kind of explicit.
Yes, definitely one of the raunchier shows around. It's kind of like South Park in that manner. It's not really for kids. A lot of the content requires a lot of maturity or immaturity on the part of adults.
Yes, I agree. And it's a really funny show. I'm looking forward to talking about it and the influence it got and impact it received. Now let's go into this intro segment.
Awesome. We're going to do a song feature on the theme song from Family Guy,
which is the theme song of Family Guy, like we all know. And it's funny, though, and it's sung by the main characters of that show, like a musical number.
Yes. And it's got a lot of different characters in it.
Like Peter, who's the main character, the patriarch, Lois, Chris, Meg, Brian, and Stewie.
And what is the general message of the theme song, Ezra?
Like Peter, who's the title character, he's a family man.
Family man meaning someone who prioritizes his family and loves being in the center of a warm, homey family dynamic.
Yes.
Yes. And so the lyrics of the song are pretty funny. I'll give you just a few words of it. It seems today that all you see is violence and movies and sex on TV. But where are those good old-fashioned values on which we used to rely?
I know, yes. Some of the words like violence in movies, sex on television, it's kind of inappropriate how they reference that stuff, but it's still funny.
Well, totally. And I think it's poking fun at itself because they're saying, oh, you know, we're ashamed of how TV is these days. It's so raunchy and violent. And it's like, well, this show about a family guy who you might not expect to participate in that kind of culture, this show participates in that kind of culture, if that makes sense. Like, this show has violence and it has really raunchy humor and sex and all of these things. So it's kind of poking fun at itself in that way, saying, oh, you know, TV these days. And then, you know, it is that TV.
Yeah, I agree. I get it. I understand.
How would you describe the music of the song, Ezra?
Kind of a bit jazzy and kind of upbeat.
Yeah, it's definitely a happy sounding song.
I agree. And it's very like comedic too.
Definitely. Catchy-ish.
I know. Yes. And the theme song's very upbeat.
Definitely. It really gets you excited for the pace of the show, which is fast and silly and ridiculous and outlandish and all of these things. It would feel weird if this show had a slower, more melodic theme song, I think.
I agree, but I like how it's jazzy and upbeat and comedic.
Me too. I think that when I first heard this theme song, it made me curious about the show because it's not only unique because the characters sing it, and a lot of shows have theme songs that are written or sung by someone who's not in the show, but it also just because of those lyrics, you know, they really are saying something about the show, and so it made me want to watch the show, which means it's a good theme song, right?
I agree, yes. It's a fun song to listen to.
Definitely. Yeah. Does every single Family Guy episode have this theme song?
I guess like a majority of them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I couldn't find any evidence of an episode that didn't have this theme song. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Consistency is key. Anything else you'd like to say about the theme song?
I think I'm ready to move on to our presentation and talk about Family Guy, the whole show and franchise and impact it received.
Awesome. Let's do it.
It seems today that all you see is violence in movies and sex on TV.
But where are those good old-fashioned values
on which we used to rely?
Lucky there's a Family Guy.
Yeah. So Family Guy first premiered on January 31st of 1999 until February 14th, 2002. But it was revived just 3 years later on May 1st of 2005.
That's right. And the show took that hiatus because, well, for a number of factors. First off, when it first started airing, Fox put it on a really good Sunday night TV slot. So there were a lot of adults that watched it on the weekend. And then as it got into its second season, Fox started to move around its time slot. So it was on weeknights pretty late after everyone's gone to bed. And it was on a different time slot almost each week, which meant it was really hard to keep track of for watchers. And that caused its ratings to tank.
I see. And the series first premiered following the Super Bowl of 1999.
Yeah, so its first episode was widely watched because it had such a good premiere slot. But then, you know, as it became harder to follow or harder to track down when it was airing, it got less and less and less views, and Fox wound up canceling it.
Yes, but it was revived 3 years later.
Yes, and that was because, not necessarily because of the popularity of the show when it aired, but because of how many DVDs it sold. So after the cancellation of the show, they made DVD versions of the first two seasons, and those sold record-breaking amounts of copies, which actually caused Fox to bring it back. And that's the first time it was documented that a show returned by popular demand from DVD sales.
I get it. Yes. Talk about the show, though. Like, the series, it takes place in a fictional town called Quahog, Rhode Island.
Yes. And it's supposed to be just, you know, your all-American town. Right? It's got one of everything and a bunch of quirky characters to go along with it.
Yes, I know. Like the main character, Peter Griffin, who's the patriarch, who I know is kind of like Homer Simpson because he's overweight. I know he's kind of obese and also not very intelligent.
Definitely. Yeah. People have made a lot of comparisons between Family Guy and The Simpsons, though Family Guy is definitely raunchier.
Yes, I agree, though. The Simpsons is also considered a mature show, but not as mature as this.
Definitely.
I know that Peter Griffin, he's like the main character, and I like the way he talks.
Yeah, he's pretty silly. And Seth MacFarlane, the creator of the show and the longtime executive producer, voices Peter, along with several other characters.
I know, I see. Interesting.
I read that he felt so emotionally invested in his vision of Peter and the other characters he voices that those were characters that he wanted to do himself.
I see. I get it, though. I know Peter's wife is named Lois, she's the mom and she's Peter's wife. And I know she's also a pianist. And I think she's also kind of an activist.
And who's she voiced by?
Alex Bornstein.
Yes, she's voiced by Alex Bornstein, one of the few female voices on the show.
Yes, and I know who's the eldest child, who's the daughter, Meg, who's a teenager, who's like 18 years old, who's also extremely unfortunate and unlucky.
Yes, she's voiced by Mila Kunis for the most part, and she provides a lot of comic relief in the show. Meg is the edgy, grumpy, moody teenager that is very easy to make fun of.
I agree. She's like kind of ostracized and an outcast and is pretty misfortunate.
Definitely.
Then there's Chris, who's the middle one, who's kind of overweight, just like Peter. And he's like 15 years old. He's the middle child. And I know he's also voiced by Seth MacFarlane as well.
Yep. And he's basically a miniature version of Peter in a lot of ways.
And Stewie, probably the most popular character, who's a talking baby, who's a toddler, literally, who talks like a grown-up, who's also voiced by the creator, Seth MacFarlane. And he's kind of an anti-hero.
Yeah, Stewie might be one of the most iconic characters from Family Guy. He's a baby, but he's also somehow an evil genius, and he's got a really funny voice.
He's a bit of an antagonist, though, but he's an on and off kind of a character.
Yeah, definitely. He wears a lot of different hats and a lot of different faces. Then there's Brian.
Yeah, the dog who talks, I know, who I know is 10, which is actually 70 in dog years. And I remember there was a time when he was temporarily was killed off and got replaced by a character named Benny. until he was resurrected.
That's right. And Brian is an interesting anthropomorphic pet. He has a British accent and smokes cigarettes and is just a very bizarre character that also is able to thus then provide a lot of comedy.
And his breed is a Labrador.
Oh, interesting. I did not know that. Makes sense.
He's also an alcohol abuser.
Yes, he is definitely an alcoholic.
And I know, like, move on to the other characters, like Cleveland Brown, who's one of Peter's friends. I know was originally voiced by Mike Henry, but now currently voiced by Black actor Arif Zahir.
That's right. Mike Henry actually stepped down from the role in 2020 after a movement around awareness of racial justice.
And George Floyd.
And George Floyd and those protests. And the movement in the media was to spread the awareness of the lack of equity in how Black actors and actresses and voice actors and employees generally were treated. And so as part of that, Mike Henry recognized that people of color in animated TV shows should be voiced by people of color in real life. And so he stepped down from that role to his credit, and they cast a Black man to voice the Black character.
Yes, I know Cleveland Brown, who I know has starred in his own spinoff show, The Cleveland Show, which ran from 2009 to 2013, and also focused on his family.
Yeah, and it was really successful.
I agree, yes, and there's the running gag with Cleveland, like his bathtub gag, saying, "What the hell? Now." That's one of the many running gags of Family Guy.
Yeah, there are so many repeating jokes, inside jokes, references, internal references, comments on pop culture. Pretty much every way a TV show can be funny, Family Guy does it, except perhaps commenting on current events. It turns out one of these episodes takes about $2 million and 10 months to make. So they're not able to keep up with current events because they make the episodes so far in advance. I learned that.
I see. And then there's Glenn Quagmire, who's also one of Peter's friends, who's better known simply as Quagmire,
mm-hmm.
who's really funny too. And he's a bachelor who works as a commercial and airplane pilot. And I like the way he talks.
Yeah, he's another funny voice for sure.
I know. And then there's Mayor Adam West, who was voiced by the late great Adam West, who passed away several years ago.
Yes, he appears as himself, as do a few other actors throughout the show.
I know, yes. I know that the character, they retired the character following Adam West's passing in 2017. And then there's Herbert, like John Herbert, better known as Herbert the Pervert, who I know is the...
A very questionable character. Definitely one of the more controversial ones, as you can tell from his name.
They call him because of pervert, because he often says kind of like sexual and obscene stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So he earns his title. But none of these characters are flaw-free. That's the thing about Family Guy, is that everyone says questionable stuff and everyone pokes fun at just about everything. Nothing is sacred for that show. They'll tear anything apart.
Yeah, I know, like, Family Guy in 2007 had Blue Harvest, which parodied the classic Star Wars trilogy.
Yep.
And then there were a couple other Star Wars episodes. And I remember there were various episodes that had references to things in pop culture from different movies and TV shows and, like, references to real-life people.
Yep, and that's actually gotten them into trouble a few times. There were a few lawsuits filed against the show and McFarlane and some of the writers because they made a reference or a parody that felt a little too close to copyright infringement or intellectual property infringement.
Yeah, I get it. I know.
They actually had, I counted, three different multi-million-dollar lawsuits brought against them, but they won all of them, which is kind of impressive. Every single time the judge ruled that the show was allowed to poke fun or parody or satirize or muck whatever it was that they felt was being ripped off.
Yes, I know. Like, I know, like, one episode of Family Guy had, like, depictions of real people, even evil people such as Osama bin Laden.
Oh, yeah. They'll definitely bring real-life people in as villains.
I know, yes, and which is kind of a funny thing. I remember that had like a depiction of an evil person. And I remember even there were some references even to real life events, even tragic things like 9/11.
Yeah, definitely. The family, the Griffin family, is living in the same world we're living in. So our history is their history.
I get it, though. Yes. I know Family Guy has come a big impact on a lot of things in pop culture. And I know that one time they crossed over with The Simpsons in an episode called The Simpsons Guy. It included characters like Bob Belcher from Bob's Burgers, Fred Flintstones from the classic show we remember, The Flintstones, and Roger from American Dad, which was the second show that Seth MacFarlane created. And I know is still running today. It first debuted in February of 2005.
That's right. And it's actually got two primary writers on it who originated with Seth MacFarlane on Family Guy.
And I know the main character is Stan Smith. I know there's the other characters. It's a whole different show, but it's by the same creator.
And kind of a similar idea.
Yes, but it's also considered to be a show made for the mature audience.
Yes.
Yes, I know. And Family Guy has gotten a lot of things too, but like in 2005, actually, there was Stewie Griffin, The Untold Story, which was a direct-to-video Family Guy movie, which was released on DVD September 27, 2005, and on TV May 21st, 2006.
That's right. And, important note for the movie and for the show, as we mentioned earlier, the characters sing the theme song, but they also sing different songs throughout the show and movie. It's got a musical component to it.
But the show isn't actually a musical itself as one of the genres, but it has some musical elements.
Yeah, it has musical episodes that have songs sung by the characters, but it's not overall, that's not the main genre of the show.
I know, yes. I know, there's been special episodes called Road to, like Road to Rhode Island, where the show takes place in Europe, Rupert, Germany, the multiverse, North Pole, Vegas, and India.
Yep. They take the Griffin family all over the world and the universe.
There was a Family Guy video game, which was first released in 2006. And I know it got a follow-up, Family Guy Back to the Multiverse, which was released in 2012.
Oh, fun. Have you played those games, Ezra?
I'm not sure, though, but I know they're obviously rated M for mature.
Yeah, I can imagine they've got some pretty graphic content.
And I know their Family Guy's appeared in other games, too. Like, there's been Family Guy Uncensored, and there's been Family Guy Online, which was a virtual world, and some other Family Guy mobile game apps. Like, there's been, like, the Quest for Stuff. They've also appeared in crossover games like Animation Throwdown, Quest for Cards, and Warped Kart Racers, where with other like mature animated adult shows.
Yeah, Family Guy has been all over. And I feel like when we're on this podcast and talking about places that the theme of the week has been referenced, Family Guy is almost always one of them. This show references other shows probably more than anything else I can think of.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
In fact, I read one review from a critic that they didn't like the show, but they were saying that the only comedy it relies on is references to other shows. And while I don't think that's true, it was funny that that critic picked up on how many other pieces of media were referenced.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And I know Family Guy, I know like Seth MacFarlane, I was trying to say the creator, that he's done a lot of other things too besides Family Guy, American Dad, and then the Family Guy spinoff, The Cleveland Show. He's done Ted, which came out in 2012 and got a sequel in 2015, and then a Western comedy called A Million Ways to Die in the West.
That's right. Both of them adult comedies with similar raunchy styles of humor that were meant to sort of upset people and make them laugh pretty hard. Also both really well received. People loved both those movies.
And he also did The Orville, which ran from 2017 to 2022, and then a show of Ted, which premiered on Peacock just 2 months ago.
That's right. And Ted also got a couple sequels.
And I know Seth MacFarlane in 2013 hosted the 85th Academy Awards.
That's right.
In 2013, I'm saying.
He did. I didn't watch that one, but I can imagine he was pretty funny.
Yes, he was. And I think in one part, Ted, who he voiced, appeared. I know Family Guy has become a really clever and funny. And I know there was a music soundtrack for the show that was released called Family Guy Live in Vegas, which was released before the show's revival.
Oh, interesting. So they recorded a album of the music from the show. That's a great idea.
I know, yes. And I know Family Guy's been popular with some funny clips I remember, like when Peter Griffin was having a farting contest with legendary filmmaker Michael Moore.
That was funny.
Or like a throw-up contest. Like they had, like when Peter, Chris, Stewie, and Brian were all vomiting. That was some pretty gross out humor. Or some other really funny ones, like when Meg and Stewie are farting in the bathtub, and then Chris, Stewie gets freaked out when he sees how Meg farts.
Yeah, there's a lot of body gross out humor in this show for sure. It relies heavily on our natural instincts to giggle at the grosser part of being human.
But it's mature and definitely not something that kids should see.
No, definitely. It's not quite down that level of gross out humor. Great. All right. Is there anything else you'd like to say about Family Guy, Ezra?
I like how it's taken the world by storm. It's really funny and amusing. And I know that there have been some kids who were interested in it, but then realize it's not something they would understand.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. I saw clips of Family Guy long before I should have, and was honestly probably more bored than I was upset about it, because those jokes just fly over your head when you're a kid. So it's no big deal until they get to the age where it could be actually understood and inappropriate.
Yeah, see, I watched it too, like when I was a little young, maybe like when I was like 9, 10, 11, or 12, and I was a little too young to understand the jokes, but now I understand them better and why it's a very mature show.
For sure. Yep. Know your audience. Gotta know your audience.
Yes, yes.
Great. Let's move on into trivia. We have to answer our trivia question from last episode about Baby Shark.
What show on Apple TV Plus referenced Baby Shark?
And the answer is...
the hit show Ted Lasso was the show that referenced it.
Oh, Ted Lasso. Oh my gosh, I didn't catch that. Ted Lasso is a great show.
Yeah, I know.
And it referenced Baby Shark.
Yeah, that's right. I know.
Oh, I'll have to go back and look for that.
I know. And let's do a good trivia question about Family Guy.
So I referenced earlier that two of the writers from Family Guy moved to the show American Dad, which Seth MacFarlane also created. What were those two writers' names?
You think you know the answer? See you on the next episode of Animation and Beyond. Bye.
Thank you for listening. Goodbye.